This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day, it seems to me, to consider what has to happen to bring America a little bit back to normal. And I believe that what has to happen in this country is more election results like we saw just this month, just a couple of weeks ago now, with the elections in Virginia and in New Jersey and in Long Island and New York, even here in Seattle, where some of the far, far out anti-American leftism of people on the very extreme left was rebuked by voters everywhere, including a lot of voters who might describe themselves as Democrats. That's a very important development. And I do not believe that we have to get used to the kind of one-sided radicalism that has been on display here in this country. And partially it's because of columns, public statements, like a column by Michelle Goldberg, who, for people who read the commentary in the New York Times, she is very regularly one of the most strident left-wing commentators. But even for her, certain things are too much. She has the a headline, it's a pretty good headline, too, in today's newspaper. It says, "The Absurd Side of Social Justice Efforts." And she says, if you follow debates over the strident style of social justice politics, often derided as wokeness, you might have heard about a document called Advancing Health Equity, a guide to language, narrative, and concepts, put out by the American Medical Association and the Association of American Medical Colleges Center for Health Justice. I don't even sure what acronym that spells. But in any event, the guide is a long list of terms and phrases that some earnest people have decided others in the medical field should never use, along with their preferred substitutes. For instance, some of these substitutions, she says, are obnoxious and presumptuous and would impede clear communication among doctors and nurses. For example, the guide suggests replacing the term vulnerable with oppressed, even though they're not synonymous. It's not oppression that makes the elderly vulnerable to COVID. Is it? Who's oppressing you, Father Time? This is exactly and very good. The point here is, she writes that the existence of this document is evidence of a social problem, though not, as the guide instructs us to say instead of social problem, you're supposed to say social injustice. Honestly, there's a medical body that wants physicians and people work as hospital administrators and nurses and techs and everybody in the hospital field to speak not of a social problem, but of a social injustice? Really? The problem is this. Parts of the diversity, equity, and inclusion industry are heavy-handed and feckless, and the left keeps having to answer for them. Consider the endless debate over critical race theory in public schools. In certain circles, it's become conventional wisdom that even if public schools are not teaching graduate school critical race theory, they're permeated by something adjacent to it. The idea that critical race theory is an academic concept that is taught only at colleges or law schools might be technically accurate, but the reality on the ground is a good deal more complicated. So writes Yasha Monk in Atlantic Magazine. Across the nation, he wrote, many teachers have started adopting a pedagogical program that owes its inspiration to ideas that are very fashionable on the academic left and that go well beyond teaching students about America's copious historical sins. And that's one of the reasons that I think that we shouldn't even concentrate on the phrase critical race theory, because it's not just about race. It's about gender. It's about sexuality. It's about an attitude toward religious faith, which is completely disrespected. I mean, this is what we're dealing with, which is more than just a question of racial sensitivity or what they call racial justice. And when I say they call, I'm not talking about any race in particular. I'm talking about the so-called social justice warriors who want to pick a fight over everything, including language. For instance, this. If conservatives couldn't find useful examples from the classroom, they discovered a rhetorical gold mine in materials from a training session for administrators, including a slide juxtaposing white individualism and color group collectivism. Does that make any sense? No, of course not. That it does make sense doesn't compute, even for Michelle Goldberg. She says, as the scholars Frank Dobbin and Alexandra Cayley wrote in The Economist, hundreds of studies of anti-bias training show that even the best programs have short-lived effect on stereotypes and no discernible effect on discriminatory behavior. Instead of training sessions, they suggest that employees should focus their diversity efforts on concrete efforts like recruitment. Okay, the point over here is she's not abandoning her commitment to left-wing solutions or to left-wing ideas, but what she is recognizing is that it's not going to continue this way. And this, it seems to me, is very, very encouraging for people. There is not going to be, for instance, one of the things that struck me today was that we have a tweet of the day that we need to cover, if we can do that very quickly.
Jeremy. From page now to the Internet.
I mean, wow, what a great, smart tweet.
Changed his password so he no longer has access to his Twitter feed.
Did you send the tweet?
I did not send that tweet. My system was hacked. I was pranked.
Donald Trump hasn't tweeted at us once, and I'm starting to get worried about him.
So we have a new tweet.
All right.
Can I do the honors?
Stand by. Tweet alert.
Yeah, this is a tweet from Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's is going to figure out really soon that getting involved in controversies, especially on a stupid side of controversies, doesn't work. That was true of their anti-Israel tweets and positions. And now there's this. This was tweeted out by Ben and Jerry's over the weekend. They tweet, the Rittenhouse trial displays yet again that our justice in quotes, system is racist. How would this trial be going if he was a black 17-year-old that crossed state lines illegally carrying an AR-15 and shot three white protesters? We need real justice in the legal system. This isn't it. Really? Does anyone honestly believe that if this was a black individual counter-protester who shot white protesters, say that particularly they were neo-Nazi protesters, but they were shot, they were killed. Do you think there would be more or less support for that black accused killer? We will be right back on the Medved Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Michael Medved show, just sitting here stewing for a moment. I hope you're thinking about it too, because I do think it's thought-provoking. We had spoken about this before on the show, the idea that people on the left are suggesting that that there's a demonstration of white privilege with Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, leave aside the fact that I think it's extremely likely that he's not going to go back to the normal life that he had before, that he will have some legal consequences, as of course he should, for what he did wrong, which was to go out with a gun he wasn't authorized to own and wander around at a riot where he didn't belong. And clearly the idea that he was only there to be helpful is belied by a bunch of stuff that was brought up at the trial. Now, does that mean that I believe that Kyle Rittenhouse should, in a just system, get life imprisonment? No, because there are all kinds of extenuating circumstances that the defense brought up at the trial. We'll find out. They're still debating. We'll find out how it happens and how it works out. But the one thing that is truly foolish about that Ben and Jerry's claim that somehow if he were a black teenager who had killed three people, that he would not be treated as respectfully, he would not be getting the same rights that that Kyle Rittenhouse is getting. Think for just a moment about the last time you heard about a white victim who was shot by a police officer. Now, why do I say that? Because right now the narrative is all about black victims. Every single year, and the Washington Post does this, every single year there are more white people who are shot in encounters with police officers than there are black people. Now, I know, it's a higher representation, it's a higher proportion of black people, right? But it still beggars the question, why is it that it is literally only that kind of police encounter that gets obsessive publicity, like the Jacob Blake incident? There are white people who have that kind of encounter with police officers all the time. Why? Because there are a lot of white bad guys. Just like there are a lot of black bad guys and a lot of Jewish bad guys and bad guys of every flavor. And to suggest that the only victims worthy of intense attention are people who are what the left judges to be some disadvantaged victim group is one of the sicknesses of the current left. And one of the reasons I believe it's not going to hold, it's not going to be a long future, we're not going to be going through this idea of wokeness, I am very confident, and I hope I'll be around to talk to you about it, that within 10 years, this wokeness will largely have dissolved. And we will be back a little bit closer to sanity. And this is the way that Michelle Goldberg concludes her piece. And the reason I'm giving so much attention to it is because this is a lefty. This is a movement lefty. She is way out there supporting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the other members of the squad. But she even sees something ridiculous about this notion that you can't refer to vulnerable communities, you have to refer to oppressed communities. You have to change words. She says, substantive change is hard. Telling people to use different words is easy. One phrase you won't find in Advancing Health Equity, which is this document that she's criticizing, you won't find in Advancing Health Equity is universal health care. The American Medical Association has been a consistent opponent of Medicare for All. The word abortion isn't in there either, though it would advance health equity, she says, if more doctors were willing to perform one. Then she adds, in the Washington Post, the columnist Matt Bai described the document as an ominous development. I'd argue that it's actually a powerful testament to where we are at the moment, and it should frighten you as much as it does me. It doesn't frighten me, she adds. In a truly Orwellian situation, people would actually have to follow new linguistic edicts instead of being able to laugh at them. But it does irritate me because it's so counterproductive, she says. It's not scary. It's just ridiculous, is not a winning political argument. And the fact that it is not scary, it's just ridiculous, is a reason that it's not going to be a long-term threat to either anyone's political future or basically to the idea of liberty and freedom of choice and freedom of thinking in this country. Just to give you one idea of how this works, look at what has happened to the left in terms of public opinion with the new polling results that I was telling you about. So these are the latest. It's a compilation of polls. The Democrats, because they have been infected by this wokeness, are losing everything. And this despite the fact that there's some popularity, according to these polls, to the president's programs. For instance, a total of 63% of all respondents indicated they support President Biden's newly passed $1 trillion infrastructure bill. But is this going to change his own poll ratings? Very doubtful, because his own poll ratings have just hit a new all-time low. The aggregate of polls, where they average all the different polls that have been taken from credible pollsters, and they do this in Real Clear Politics, Biden's approval rating is the lowest it's ever been. Just hit a new all-time low, 41.9%. Jen Psaki was asked about that this morning at her press briefing in the White House. It sounded like this. This is clip 15.
The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey came in at the lowest level since November of 2011. Look at the story that you guys have made clear you believe you have on what the president has accomplished in the last 10 months. You're also seeing all of your own numbers. What do you attribute that to? Is it just inflation? Is it coverage? Is it, what does the White House think is driving consumer sentiment to be at that low level?
Well, I would say, without being an economist, we look at most of these data points through the prism of COVID. And we know that we were in this place we are in now because of COVID, because of the impact of the pandemic. That has led to inflation. That has led to supply chain issues. And we know that even on a fundamental human level, people are tired of the pandemic. And so it's hard to get into the psychological mind, which this is a measure of course, different than some other data. But we see that consistently across, a range of data and a range of economic analysis and even polling as it relates to how the current state of play in the country is impacting the American people.
Does that sound persuasive to anybody? I don't believe it will. You know what is persuasive is the new effort led by Neil Ferguson, Barry Weiss, and others to start a new university. We'll be talking about that with Megan McArdle, coming right up on the MedVet Show.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is in New Hampshire promoting his big infrastructure bill that he signed at the White House on Monday. Biden, speaking at an aging bridge in Woodstock, about 60 miles north of the capital city of Concord. The $1.2 trillion measure covers extensive renovations of bridges, highways, rails, and ports. This, as Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says, many Americans are concerned and hurting due to the higher gas and energy bills, and it's only going to get worse.
There's no part of our economy that can afford another massive dose of socialism.
McConnell, no fan of the bill Biden signed on Monday. It's the first day of deliberations in the Wisconsin trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. The state does have 500 National Guard troops standing by in case a verdict sparks unrest. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Michael Medved Show. It's always a pleasure to welcome back Megan McArdle, who is a prominent columnist for the Washington Post. And she has written, I think, one of the most balanced and intriguing columns about this new venture called the University of Austin. For people who missed our interview yesterday, I spoke with Neil Ferguson, a very distinguished British historian who's got a faculty position at both Stanford and at Harvard University, but he's one of the board of advisors for this new university venture, which is an attempt to have a major university that would be competitive with the very best schools in the country. They have a number of celebrity scholars who are already part of the planning process, and yet this would be a place where political correctness did not apply, where presumably there wouldn't be faculty members who would be fired for saying, and by the way, she was taken back eventually, that firing was withdrawn, but there was a situation at my alma mater at Yale where there was a faculty member who said that students shouldn't be told what Halloween costumes they should wear or not wear, and for having made that comment, she lost her job. Megan, you make a number of points about some of the difficulties that the people working on this new University of Austin are going to encounter. And first of all, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm always glad to be here.
Okay, the biggest problem that I think you focus on in your column is you went to the University of Pennsylvania. I went to Yale. There's obviously a great appeal to universities that are a brand name. And I think one of the questions you ask is, how are they going to get that brand name, and what kind of brand would it be at this new University of Austin?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about what a university is, or at least what a modern university is, maybe not what it should be, but it's a kind of a two-sided market. Right, on the one hand, you're trying to attract students. On the other hand, the way you attract students in the modern university is by proving that those students are going to have a credential that employers and graduate programs are going to value. And I think one of the big dangers is that, you know, if you're going out and you're saying the university is doing things wrong, we're starting a new university that's not going to have all of this, you know, political correctness and the diversity statements and all the rest of it. Does that handicap your students when they're applying to grad school? Does it do employers maybe look at that as scam? And especially because they don't know the brand name because it's brand new. And if that's the case, then how do you attract the students who can get into a Penn or a Yale? I think it's a big challenge. I mean, the ideal thing is you have students who you attract who are just passionate and so interested in learning and being able to express themselves and to be able to hone their ideas against people who are equally sharp and disagree with them. You attract this incredible student body. That sells itself to employers, and ultimately you end up with a great brand name. But it's a big challenge, and they're going to have to work really hard to get there.
I do think one of the things that they're talking about is that they want to establish a brand name not as a conservative university. There are a number of smaller colleges that are doing that and doing a good job of it, one of which we work with regularly on this show, the Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania, which takes no government money, etc.
Right, or something like Hillsdale or Liberty,
exactly.
Or Patrick Henry, yeah.
Right, and those are already there. What they're saying, and this is something that Neil Ferguson was emphasizing yesterday on the show, is what their brand name is going to be is free exchange of ideas, sort of the conflict of values, that this will not be a monochromatic college experience at all. Is that something that should be saleable?
I certainly hope so, and I would love to think so. I think there is a danger, though, which is that the people who are most motivated by being able to express themselves are the people who are most forbidden to express themselves now. And so even though I think that is absolutely the goal of the founders, the question is, when you're recruiting students, do the left-wing students say, well, I can go to normal university and express myself just fine? And so the question is, can you sell those students on the idea that you don't just want to express yourself? What you want to do is be in debate with the smartest people on the other side so that you know their case better, so that you can hone your own case, so that you can maybe change your mind if you decide you're wrong. And I hope that there are enough people out there who are going to value that from both left and right and center and, you know, random political spectrums, things off the political spectrum entirely. But I don't know yet. I think the only way to find out really is to found the university and see who comes.
Well, but again, that's always that's a hugely expensive process. I know that they're targeting at least the idea of starting with a $250 million of resources.
Right.
And that might even be, for the kind of ambitious plans they have, that might even be a relatively small amount. There's one thing that you didn't address in your column and that I don't think they've addressed really in any of the preparatory material, is the role of religion, because one of the things that is very successful right now, there are more people than ever who are attending religious-linked universities. Of course, all our major universities used to be religiously linked.
Right.
How do they finesse that? In other words, this is not going to be a school for religiously committed students, but they certainly need to make it welcoming for religiously committed students, right?
I think that that's easier than you might think, and in fact, because a lot of campuses, as you and I both know, aren't always that welcoming to religious students anymore. You have seen over the past, you know, especially with Christian groups, but also sometimes with Muslim and Jewish groups, where, you know, for example, there was a case, I believe at Vanderbilt, where they tried to make the Christian group accept people who did not, in leadership, who did not espouse the creedal requirements of the group.
Right, they didn't believe in Christ. It's kind of tough.
Right. You know, you really can't be a Christian, I would argue, unless you believe that Jesus was God. And so, you know, those things are certainly, you couldn't be in this Christian group, whether or not doctrinally that's a different argument.
You may know there were a bunch of Yale students who didn't want, because they were religiously Jewish, they didn't want to stay in the same dorm with females. They didn't want co-ed dorms. And they said that was a requirement of Orthodox Jewish religion, and sure, most people would say they were right. But they lost their case, and they had to move off campus. So
I think that a kind of free-thinking university, and a university that is explicitly dedicated to idea pluralism, is going to be more comfortable with saying, you know what, we don't actually agree with these Orthodox Jewish students that there's anything wrong with sharing a dorm with women. But they think it, and we don't need to change their minds. In fact, we want them here having very different opinions from everyone else. We want all of these ideas, this incredible spectrum, all here at the same place, and so we're going to try to accommodate those ideas. And so I think, you know, in a lot of ways, for religious students, this will be a more welcoming place than your typical secular university. And the only question is, do those religious students, you know, do they decide to go here, or do they decide to go to a yeshiva? Or to a Patrick Henry or a Liberty University, right? And I think that, again, these are the sort of questions that I want to believe, and I do believe that the value in liberalism, in the free exchange of ideas, is so high that people should be willing to take the adventure. We will have to see whether I am right.
By the way, that is brilliantly stated, and your column is terrific. We're posting your column, The University of Austin Founders Challenge. That column is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Megan McArdle, thanks for your clarity on this and so many other issues. We will be right back on The Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500 and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
On the Michael Medved Show, as we come up to our great holiday of Thanksgiving and try to come to terms honestly with the heritage of the Pilgrims, what they were about, what they meant. It's a great time for you to sign up as a MedHead Plus member, because that gives you access not only to our special material on colonial history, the first major attempt to start a British colony in the New World, which was a complete disaster. Didn't work. Why not? We will talk about that. We will also talk about why the Pilgrims were different, why Jamestown was different, and what's the difference between Pilgrims and Puritans, and much more. Now, that's all available from the Medved History Store. You go to Medved History Store, you can see what we have there, and it's all free. It's all free for people who join us as members of the Medhead Plus website, and that's actually available to you for 11 cents a day over the course of a year, total of $79 for an entire year, with free access to any of these history programs. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or go to the medvedhistorystore.com. It's right now we are about to have a small episode. I don't think it'll be a major episode in our current pageant of history passing by, but we will be getting a verdict at some point, and some people are preparing for the worst regarding the Rittenhouse verdict. This is an update from Fox 6 in Wisconsin, clip 1.
Roughly 500 Wisconsin National Guard troops standing by. Governor Tony Evers activated them in case they're needed in Kenosha, but they wait in Waukesha County. They won't be deploying to Kenosha until and unless the local police there say they need them, a city that saw destruction in 2020.
During all the rioting and the looting, everything that was going on, you know, a ton of businesses were kind of destroyed. I was one of them, so we got burned down completely. So, you know, it's quite a shock. We had to rebuild from scratch.
Tony Farmer's old Boost Mobile store is now a vacant lot. He's rebuilt his business just around the corner near 22nd Avenue and Roosevelt Road.
I hope it doesn't happen again, obviously. You know, it's not good for the people that run the businesses, you know, the everyday people. They got to take care of their families and go to work every day. So, but I don't really get too involved in the politics. I mean, I just pray for the best for all sides.
A very good sentiment, and we should all pray for the best for all sides. I think what's fascinating is no one assumes, I don't think, that somehow there are members of the white community that will be so upset if Kyle Rittenhouse is convicted of anything that they would riot. And the idea that here you have a a white defendant with entirely white victims. And yet the fear is that the backlash from the extreme left, the irresponsible left, and it goes way beyond race in places like Kenosha, that extreme reaction would actually lead to violence. How sad that is. And let us just hope that that's not even true, that this is an excess of caution by the Democratic governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. But this latest from CNN, the Rittenhouse jury has just asked the judge for extra copies of the rest of the instructions. This is from CNN's Brad Parks. He says the jury has now requested 11 copies of pages 7 to 36 of the jury instructions, which is the total number of pages in the instructions according to a pool reporter in court. Earlier today, jurors requested extra copies of the jury instructions, specifically pages 1 through 6. The jury was provided 11 additional copies of those pages, according to the courtroom pool reporter. We will see. And again, I think the whole country is eager for this to be settled, and to be settled reasonably. Speaking of reasonable, one of the truly more reasonable voices that you're hearing in the United States, and again, it's one of those reasons, in addition to seeing people like Michelle Goldberg, who actually writes reasonably about some of the extremes in wokeness and political correctness and social justice warriorhood and stupidity of that nature, and Bill Maher, who's a liberal, he's a Democrat, he admits it. He doesn't vote Republican, but he sure talks sense. And he did it again on his show this Friday night. This is clip 12. Listen.
After the governor of Virginia, the new governor won,
yeah.
MSNBC headline was, Glenn Youngkin's victory proves white ignorance is a powerful weapon.
Mm.
I don't think that helps.
No.
I don't think some of this... I'm an old school liberal. I believe in a colorblind society. That's not where woke is.
Right.
Okay, there's a lot of resegregation go on. There's a lot of, you're either a racist or you don't know you're a racist.
Okay, and again, that idea that your racial identity is the most important part of you, more than your religious faith or your political affiliation, it's all about race, which of course is poisonous. Because if racism is one thing at essence, in essence, it is exaggerating the impact of something like your skin color, your visible identification with one racial group or another. There was a critical race theory defender was at a school board meeting where he threatened parents who were trying to oppose his fellow parents, actually, at the school board. He threatened parents who were trying to oppose his commitment, apparently, to CRT. It sounded like this. Listen, 11.
I've got over 1,000 folks ready to go.
We're not the board. He is. We're
to go. Yeah. Go.
If you want to talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you.
Time. That's the board.
Yeah, I'll bring my thoughts for you next time.
Okay, again, it's sad when people are going to be responsible for teaching our children. And apparently, as this has been reported, what this individual said, he said, I've got 1,000 soldiers locked and loaded, ready to go. Can you imagine if someone said that on the right against critical race theory? Here was an individual who was saying it on behalf of critical race theory. This is not a fight that is going to go on and on and on. Abortion has been that kind of fight because people have very profound feelings about it, both pro-life and pro-choice. And, yeah, that happens. That continues. But I don't believe that we are going to be permanently arguing about critical race theory. Because, honestly, if you actually look at what's gone on in this country over the last, oh, say, 50 years, and this is a point of Jason Riley's new book. I can't wait until it's released. I was able to read an advanced copy. It's called The Black Boom. And black people have been too busy making meaningful progress in this country to obsess with these theories about how they're all permanently handicapped by race. People that I know and that I know reasonably well don't accept that idea of a definition of victimhood based not upon anything that you've done or any failures that you've had, but based upon who your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were. That's, of course, the entire point of reparations and why it is against the fundamental American idea. The fundamental American idea is you come here or you live here or you make your life here, you commit to the American ideal because it's a fresh start. It allows you to define your own identity. Doesn't link it based upon ancestry or inherited anything. Because who was this American? St. John de Crèvecoeur said right after the Revolution. Who is this new man and woman in this greatest nation on God's green earth?
Have you heard about Vine to Bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate. The world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc. From the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay Marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.